Aren't you glad for the hope that we have? The Bible says in this life only we had hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. But thank God there's a hope beyond this life. There's a hope beyond the here and now. And Paul said in one place, he said that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And then he said this, he said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I believe he's talking about heaven. I believe he's talking about that land where this is coming from. Amen. You know where this is coming from? It's coming from that other world. That world that we're headed towards. And I tell you, it's the Lord letting us know that heaven's going to be worth the journey. Heaven will be worth the journey, and I want to make it. Don't you? I want to make it. There was a young man there at the youth camp that had been praying. And we knew this young man from years ago. I knew him a long time ago. He lives in North Carolina or around that area. He goes to our home church. And I didn't even hardly recognize him when he come up to me. I knew him, but I couldn't remember. It'd been so long, but he had got into some trouble. But he'd come to the youth camp, and he'd been praying real good. And Thursday night, he prayed, I reckon, hour and a half, testified real good, and looked like the Lord just was really trying to help him. Then Friday night, he prayed, and I could tell his mind was somewhere. And he prayed for a little while. He got up and he went to the bathrooms, and I was easing back to get a drink of water, and he was standing there, and I asked him, I said, what's the matter, Joseph? And he said, it's just so hard. He said, it's so hard. That's all he would say. And he said, I'll be honest with you. I just feel like giving up. And I told him, I said, Joseph, there's a place you can get in God where it doesn't matter what you go through. Amen. Giving up is not an option. Right. Why? Because we've got a hope beyond this world. Amen. And that hope beyond this life keeps me going. And I want to make it. Don't you? Amen. Don't you want to go to heaven? Yeah. Ain't you glad we can go to heaven? Ain't you glad that Jesus prepared and fixed a way that we, by his grace and through his mercy, could go to that land that Sister Leanne was singing about this morning. I want to go more than anything. My daughters sing that song, more than fame, wealth, or desire. More than all this world's attire. More than anything in this life, I've got to make it. Amen. I want to make it, don't you? Thank God. I appreciate the Lord's presence that's here. And glad for you that's worshiping the Lord. And I didn't mean to overlook Sister Sandy, but we're so glad she was here, is here, and always enjoy her singing and her testimonies. And she's such a great blessing to us. And when somebody told me she was here, I was hoping she'd stick around through the weekend. And we're glad to see you, Sister Sandy. It's good to see some home folks. Amen. She's from where home is. Well, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? But we appreciate Sister Sandy being here this morning. Glad for everybody that's here. If you have your Bibles, I want to read in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. I've been reading here the last two services, and again, I'm going to read. I'm going to start a little sooner. I'm going to read a couple verses here, several verses, and I feel like the Lord wants me to continue with this. And I know it's a Sunday morning, but as I was praying, I really felt in my spirit that the Lord wanted me to preach from these scriptures. And so I ask you to pray for me, church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, and we'll read down to verse 18. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Yes. Notice he said not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. I want to talk about that this morning for a little while. Being filled with the Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Ghost. Ask you to pray for me. And the church says, amen. The Bible said in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. That word circumspect, it means to be careful to consider before acting. It means before you do a thing, think about it. Think about whether it's right or it's not right. Think of the results or the consequences of the actions that you're fixing to take. He told us to walk carefully and consider carefully, not to be as fools, but as wise. And then he said to redeem the time, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Would you agree with me that it's sad but true that the church as a whole, and I speak in a general sense, that we have wasted too much time already. Do y'all agree with me about that? We have wasted opportunities. We have wasted moments when we could have made a difference, or we could have been a blessing, or we could have ministered to others about the Lord Jesus Christ, but we allow those precious opportunities to slip through our fingers, and we missed an opportunity to be a great blessing. But I'm so glad that he said we can redeem the time. I'm so glad that he said we can't change what we have failed to do. We can't change even the things that we've done that we wish we would not have done. But thank God we can redeem the time. Thank God we can do differently. As I said the other day, that today is the first day of the rest of our lives. I cannot change the decisions that I made yesterday. I cannot undo the wrong things that I done yesterday. But thank God I can do differently from now on. I can be different. I can be more faithful today. I can be more dedicated and more consecrated and more sold out to God today. No, I cannot turn back the hands of time, but I can take what time I have left and I can give it to God, and God can help me to redeem the time. He said, why? Because the days are evil. Church, we are nearing the end of this thing. We are approaching the last days, and we are in. You know, years ago they preached, and Paul preached, and he said, and he wrote down in his letters to the churches, he said that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. One place he said, in the last days perilous times shall come. But when we speak of this, we don't say that the last days are coming. But Brother Tim, we can say that in fact, we are in the last days. We are not preaching that. We are fastly approaching of the last days. But we can say that we are living right now in the times that Jesus said, "You, when you see these things come to pass, you can lift up your head because my redemption, it draweth nigh." I'm telling you, church, we are in the last days, and we cannot afford to slouch. We cannot afford to be careless with time. I said we cannot afford to be careless with the time that God has given to us, the time that we have left. Brother Gerald, we must redeem the time because time is running out. And what did the Bible say about life? He said, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a moment and then it vanisheth away." It's like the morning fog, and it's like that haze. It's there today, and in the next few minutes, it's gone away. But we can't afford to waste any more time. Then he said, "Be not unwise." Why? How do we redeem the time? By knowing what the will of God is for our lives and living in His will for our lives. And then it's amazing how he, Brother Rodney, he put that right in there with that. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." He said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Now that's not a loophole to take a social drink. Amen. I've heard some people argue and say, "Well, he said you can drink a little wine's good for the stomach." But he's not talking about the same wine here that he was it Timothy he was talking to about that? He's not talking about the same wine. It was not. If you don't agree with me, I'll talk to you at the church, and you give me time, I'll give you some scripture. The Bible told us not to look at the wine when it moves in the glass. And he said, "Wine is a mockery and strong," or I'm going to get that backwards, "strong drink is a rage, and whoever's deceived thereby is not wise." He's not saying you can drink a little bit of wine, you can have a social drink. But what he's saying, he's speaking literally, and he's speaking figuratively, for us not to be drunken with the wine of this world, whether it be literally or whether it be the spirit that's in the world and the things that are in the world that men get so drunk on and distracted by that they lose sense of time and eternity. You know, it's right. In the natural, a man, when he gets dull drunk, he might sleep days and not even realize the time passed. And what makes you so bad? Oh, Brother Tim, he don't even realize what happened. He don't even realize what he did last night. He was so drunk. Well, there's people in the figurative sense, they're so drunk in this life and on the wine of this world that they don't even realize the things that they are doing and the harm that they're causing. Hey, but he said, don't be drunk by the influence of this world, but be filled with the Spirit. I'd like to preach to you, church, there is a baptism, there is an indwelling of the Spirit of God in the human heart, and you talking about something that is fulfilling, you talking about something that is worthwhile, you talk about something that is joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's nothing like being filled with the Holy Ghost. We've been preaching lately about these fundamental doctrines of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We preached about salvation and what it is and what it does and how to be saved. And we've talked about sanctification and how that it's not an option, but it is necessary. It is essential. It is a fundamental. And we talked about what we do to be sanctified. And then we talked about what God does when we sanctify ourselves. He sanctifies us wholly. Yeah. Amen. And I don't want to sound like a broke record, but I don't want to ever mention the Holy Ghost. and being filled with the Holy Ghost without mentioning sanctification. Because there's a lot of people, they won't mention it. They're scared of the word. They almost act like it's a cuss word anymore. But oh, there is a sanctification experience that we must have. And I preached about that. But then it tells us here that there's another fundamental doctrine. There's something God said. It is the will of God for us, each and every one of us. And that is that we be filled with the Spirit. Jesus, on many different occasions, he talked to us about the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost and the results of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I tell you what I've been praying for, Brother Tim, I've been praying for a church. And I've been praying for men and women, boys and girls, men that are saved and sanctified, that would get a hunger in their heart to be filled. And I'm going to go further than that. I've been praying that God would refill some of us that know what it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that we'll go back and get filled all over again. And that is scriptural. That is according to the Word of God. God, give us some hungry hearts. God, give us some souls that are hungry and thirsty for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Are y'all going to help me preach this morning? Young folks, I want to tell you something. It's the will of God that you be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's God's divine plan and God's divine purpose. And you must seek for the Holy Ghost with all of your hearts. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I indeed baptize you. Not Jesus, but John the Baptist said this. They thought he was the Messiah, but he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And the Bible said that he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I like that, because you can't separate the two. If the Holy Ghost abides, the fire burns. If the fire is not burning, the Holy Ghost does not abide. Is that all right this morning? I hope we'll get somewhere in this service this morning. I hope somebody will get excited about seeking the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, he said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And with fire, that word baptize means to immerse. It means to submerge, just like you do when you go down to the river and you take part in that essential of water baptism. You go completely under. You're not like that man that baptized his army, but only the arm that held the sword. They would not cause to go under the water, because that was the arm that would slay the enemy. So they would baptize everything but the arm that held the sword. God wants us to be completely immersed, submerged. That word means to make fully wet. And when I think about that, it reminds me of when Ezekiel went down under that place where the river was flowing from the throne of God and by the altar of God. And he measured 1,000. It was to the ankles. 1,000. It was to the loins. 1,000. He kept on going. And the Bible said finally it was a river that could not be passed over. Rivers to swim in. You know what God's wanting us to do? God's wanting us to get in and dive in over our heads. God's wanting us to submit and completely surrender and cross that river. And you know what you'll find? You'll find you can't cross it. It cannot be passed over, but it's waters to swim in. I tell you what our problem is. I tell you why there's so much confusion and discord and lukewarmness, backbiting. Do I need to go on? And worldly dressing. Because we're hanging around the edge of the water and we're stirring up the mud. I hope that makes sense. Brother Monty, we're hanging around the edge. Thank God you got in. Oh, but quit staying in that ankle deep water and quit stirring up the mud and step out a little bit deeper. Go beyond the salvation experience, because there's more to just being saved. But step out of that water, oh, where there's sanctification, where there's dedication. But don't stay there. I said don't stay there, because you're still muddying up the waters. But go out to finally, you can't feel the bottom. Go out, brother, amen. That where you can't hardly, amen, you reach for the bottom and you can't find it. The other day, we went over to the famous swing over here on the river. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Andy? I was worried that tree wasn't going to hold me. That baby went down like that. I'm telling you. Oh, but Brother Nelson, I said, how deep is it? He said, I couldn't find bottom. I didn't even try. I was scared to go that deep. But I want to get out there where you can't feel the bottom. I want to get out there where you're walking by faith, where you're trusting it. God, give us some people that'll dive out into the river of God's Spirit. Be filled, be completely submerged, to be fully wet with the Spirit of God. Jesus said in John 14, 15 through 17, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's that sanctification part. Amen. And he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And he goes on to say, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. He said, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. I tell you, we got some folks in here tonight, today, this morning, whether you're an older person or a younger person, you know what the Holy Ghost is. And let me go further than that, you know who the Holy Ghost is. Let me say this, he is not an it. And I believe it's not reverent to call the Holy Ghost an it, because he is the third person of the Trinity, the triune Godhead. He is not an it. He is a person. That's right. And you know the Holy Ghost. You're familiar with the Holy Ghost. And I've seen some of you that the Holy Ghost was moving upon you. Why? Because ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. But you know what, young folks? God's saying to you tonight, today, he wants you to be more than just have the Holy Ghost with you. But Brother Kenny, he wants the Holy Ghost in you. He wants the Holy Ghost not only upon you, but in you and working through you. Jesus said, ye know who he is, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Luke 24:49, before our Lord ascended back to the right hand of the Father, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That word endue means, it means figuratively to sink into a garment, to be completely covered. That same word, it's similar. It's a synonym of being submerged and filled with the Spirit. It is God's will. Do you understand me this morning? It is God's will. And all my prayer is that somebody would get hungry for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Will you bear with me just for a little while this morning, church? I know this may be a little different than the way the service was going, but I said it many times. You had your chance to get in, and you didn't, so I'm going to preach what I feel like God laid on my heart. Is that okay? Amen. Young folks, you need the baptism. You listen to me this morning. Oh, I don't want you talking. I don't want you writing unless you're writing scriptures and I'm trying to read to you. And I think that's a good idea. Don't you parents think that's a good idea? Oh, but you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to preach to you, first of all, on why you need the Holy Ghost. Why it is essential. Why you must have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because it is the Holy Ghost that empowers us to be an effective witness. Do y'all believe that? It is the Holy Ghost that enables us to fulfill God's calling, whether it be a preacher or an evangelist or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, amen, or just a prayer warrior, whatever your calling is. You know how you can be the most effective in the calling that God has placed upon your life? By being filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I feel the Lord this morning, church. I tell you, we need a people that is running over with the Spirit of God. We need a people. David said, "You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over." God don't want us just partially filled. God don't want us 2/3 filled, or even 99%, but He wants the Spirit overflowing. How can we ever be a blessing to anybody else if the Spirit is not overflowing in our lives? The Bible said, Jesus said in John 14:12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." In other words, God is calling us to do the same ministry and fulfill the same ministry that Jesus Christ did when he lived in the flesh and walked in this world. You think about that. He said, "The works that I do shall you do also." But not only that, he said, "And greater." Greater. I didn't say that. Some liberal charismatic didn't say that. But Jesus said that. "And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father." Why was he going to the Father? He said, "I'm going to my Father, and I'm going to pray that he'll send you another comforter." He said, "That's the Holy Ghost, and he'll teach you all things, and he'll bring all things unto your remembrance." That's what he's saying. You can do greater things because I'm going to put my Spirit in your life. I'm going to fill you, oh, with that heavenly gift. The Bible said that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He's talking about the Holy Ghost, church. He said in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses." And there's a whole lot more to this, and I may not get into it tonight, today. Maybe later on, but there's a lot of depth to what he says here. But he said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria." He said, wherever you go, you're going to be a witness. Oh, I tell you what we're needing. We're needing people full of the Holy Ghost, because there may not be a lot they understand. When we preach our standards, they may not understand that. And I didn't when I wasn't saved. But there was one thing I did understand. Even though I didn't know all about it, I understood that the Spirit that was behind it was the right Spirit. Is that all right? I understood that the anointing that those men preached with was the right Spirit. And it was that Spirit that convinced me of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. He said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me," whether you be in the public school or in the grocery store or on the job or on vacation. He said, wherever you go, the Holy Ghost will empower you to be an effective witness. He will give you the ability to relate the message of Jesus Christ to somebody that does not know him. Don't you want to be a witness, church? Don't you want your life to point men to the Savior? And the way you can do that most effectively is that you be filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents." Now he's not talking about, don't get worried, we're not going to pull the boxes out. Somebody thought, said anyways, they was picking. When we had all those boxes up here for Father's Day, they said, "What's going on at the highway?" Amen. Well, let me tell you, what was in there was probably just as hurtful and harmful as a rattlesnake. Especially when you don't know how to eat it with temperance like me. When you eat half the box before Sunday night comes around. But we're not pulling out boxes with rattlesnakes. But he said I believe it's a spiritual more than anything. Those snakes that slither in the house of God and would love to pump poison among God's people like the devil does. You understand what I'm saying? He said, you'll take up the serpents. I'll give you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Oh, God help us today. He goes on to say, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And he went on to say, and they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I tell you, when that happens, when men and women get saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, we'll see. Listen, we're not following the signs. That's the world. They're following signs and they're false. They're not real. We're not following the signs. But Brother Tim, God said, if we live these lives, the signs will follow us. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. He'll help you to be an effective witness. He'll help you to be able to share Jesus with those you come in contact with. Amen. Not only that, but he enables us to pray effectively.
Oh, yes.
And I tell you, if there's an area in every one of us, if we be honest, if there's an area in our lives that needs some work, it would probably be our prayer lives. But you know, the world, Brother Gerald, has this mentality that the reason why God fills you with the Holy Ghost is so you can run around the church. Well, don't misunderstand me. I like to run. Y'all have seen me run a few times. And can I be honest? I hope I get to run a whole lot more. But God's primary reason for baptizing you with the Holy Ghost is not so that when you come to church, you can run around here. Huh? God's primary reason for you being filled with the Holy Ghost is not so you can be emotional. I tell you what, a drunk gets drunk, he gets downright emotional. I heard of one man get so drunk, he would even preach after he got drunk. You know, it wasn't anointed, but he was emotional about it. And you talk to him about Jesus, and he'd cry. That's right. We don't need emotion. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's not the primary reason that God baptizes with the Holy Ghost. But he does give us the Holy Ghost to empower us to be an effective witness and to give us an effective prayer life. He said in Romans 8:26-27, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What's he talking about? He's talking about praying in the Spirit. He said, and he that searcheth the hearts, who is he that searcheth the heart? It's the Holy Ghost, and he knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And the Bible said that he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost will give you the ability to ring the prayer bells of heaven. Y'all believe that?
Yes.
You may pray good now, not having the Holy Ghost, but oh, the Holy Ghost, it will enhance your prayer life. Do you understand what I'm trying to preach? I hope I'm making sense. And I hope I'm painting a picture good enough that you say, man, I don't want to leave the highway of holiness without the Holy Ghost living inside of me. That's what I hope I'm doing this morning. That's what I hope the Holy Ghost to help me do this morning. He will give you an effective prayer life. He said in Jude verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, you talking about a prayer that touches the heart of God? When we enter a spirit of prayer and the Holy Ghost begins to pray through us, young folks, that's why you need to be filled, because not only will he help you worship in the house of God, but he'll help you pray when you're at home, when there isn't fast music, when there isn't a hyped up spirit. Seen it over and over and over again. One service, folks running the aisles. The next service, no victory whatsoever.
Right.
You may think I'm against shouting, but you know I'm not.
Right.
But shouting is really shallow.
Come on, brother. Come on, brother.
But when you're full of the Holy Ghost, it's not. You know, I mean, shouting is something that is an outward manifestation. Oh, but I tell you where it's at. It's when you pray and the Spirit prays through you. And that's why you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because He will help you to pray effectively. Your prayer life will go beyond, God, do this for me, and God, do that for me, and God, bless me this way. But your prayer life will be, God, what can I do for the kingdom of God? What can I do to help see somebody saved? What can I do to share the message of Jesus Christ? It's like that famous president said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And we're needing people full of the Holy Ghost, so they quit asking God to do for them, and they say, Lord, here are your hands, these are your feet, this is your heart, I'm giving myself to you, and what do you want me to do?
Amen.
And then the Holy Ghost, He gives us, and we need the Holy Ghost because He will encourage us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. How many times have you went to the house of God and you was low and you was weak? Us preachers, we know how to wear a smile sometimes. And we know how to act like everything's okay. And I'm not talking about being a hypocrite. Y'all understand me? But we can't walk up here with our feelings on our shoulders. And it should not be that you can detect when Brother Jamie is really struggling. And if it's ever been that way, forgive me, because that ain't the will of God. But sometimes we do get weak, and we do get weary, and we do get tired. He said, but likewise the Spirit also helpeth. The Holy Ghost, Sister Wanda, helps us. He said, this Holy Ghost, I read it to you already. He said, the Holy Ghost, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you when? Forever. Not just when you're on the mountain and we're having camp meeting and we're running around the church, but when it seems like we're going through a dry spell and it seems like all the devils of hell are coming against the church. He said that comforter, He's with you. Why? To help your infirmities, to give you what you need to overcome. I'm going to try to hurry up and quit, church, but I'm preaching, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a reason. It is essential. It is necessary. And if we want the victory of God in our lives, then we need to be hungry for the Holy Ghost. How do we receive the Holy Ghost? I know there's a lot of ideas. I've seen people trying to pray for others to receive the Holy Ghost. And they're up at the bottom of their chin. That's charismatic stuff. We better stay away from that. Try to get them to say hallelujah as fast as they can, and then when they get stumbled up, you got it! No, you didn't. You just sound like I do when I preach a lot of times. Amen. I mean, all mumbled up and stuttering and all that. Listen, that ain't the way you receive the Holy Ghost. You know how you receive the Holy Ghost? Jesus said, tarry until ye be endued. That word means figuratively to sit down. In other words, to get to a place where you realize, I will not go any further in my experience with God until I am filled with the Holy Ghost. Are y'all going to help me preach this morning? I feel the Holy Ghost this morning, a waiting, a tarrying. Jesus, before He ascended, He told His disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. Make up your mind, I'm going to seek God until He fills me with the Holy Ghost. I want God and the Holy Ghost more than anything.
Yes.
You know why you got saved?
Boy, it's quiet this morning.
But you know why you got saved? If you really got saved, you got saved because you wanted salvation more than anything else. You was willing to confess your sins.
Yes, sir.
You was willing to forsake your sins. Things you loved dearly, you was willing to lay it down.
Yes.
Because you wanted salvation more than anything else. Brother Joey, that same principle applies to being sanctified.
Right.
And that same principle applies to being filled. You've got to want the Holy Ghost more than anything, more than a boyfriend, more than a girlfriend, more than a new pocketbook and a new outfit, more than a fast car and a fancy house. You got to want the Holy Ghost. That man told his wife, he said, I'm going upstairs and I'm not coming down till God baptizes me with the Holy Ghost. If it takes me a week, if it takes me a month, I'm not coming down until God fills me with the Holy Ghost. I read where the disciples tarried for 10 days. It took 10 days. Oh, but that man, he said, I'm not coming down. You know where it's at? I tell you where it's at. When you get to that place, oh, Brother Don, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Young folks, when you get to that place where you want the Holy Ghost more than anything in this world, that man turned around and he put one step foot on the step going up to the upstairs. And when he did, God baptized him with the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because he wanted it more than anything else. There was nothing that he desired more than to be filled with God's Holy Ghost. And you know what I believe today? I believe even in a Sunday morning service, that if you get into wanting the Holy Ghost more than anything else, more than Sunday dinner, more than going somewhere and eating Mexican, amen, if you want the Holy Ghost even more than that, oh, you know what I believe? You can leave this place full of the Holy Ghost. You can leave this place baptized and endued with power from on high. Young people, you need to be filled. Not only do you tarry, but you obey him altogether. He said in Acts 5 and 32, we are his witnesses of those things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, which is given to them that obey him. I'm fixing to quit. I want to leave this with you this morning. And I hope God stirs hearts. I really do. I hope God stirs your heart this morning. Who the Holy Ghost is for. The Bible said, after Simon Peter, and those 120 that were gathered together in the upper room were baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Ain't that what it said, church? The Bible said that Simon Peter, standing up. Now, I talked to you about why. You remember there was a time he couldn't do that. There was a time he said, I don't know him. And there were but a handful of people standing there. But he was enabled and empowered to be able to stand up because he got full of the Holy Ghost. Y'all see that this morning? Yes. And not only did he stand up, but the Bible said that he began to speak with a loud voice. And he said, these men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. He said, behold, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon some flesh, upon older people, upon middle age. No, he didn't say that. He said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all. Does anybody know what all means? It means everybody. It means no exceptions whatsoever. And he said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my spirit. He said, it doesn't matter who you are and where you're from and what walk of life you come from. He said, the Holy Ghost is for you. Y'all gonna help me preach just in a few more minutes? Paul and Peter stood up after he preached that message and he said, the promise is unto you and unto your children and all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Yeah. Who's the Holy Ghost for? He's for me. Yeah. Yeah. He's for every one of us. Stand this morning. Thank you for your attention. Can I say and be accurate that if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that it is God's will that every one of us today, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Is it all right to say that? There's no doubt about that, Brother Ben. That's God's will for us. That's what He wants. But the real question is, how many of us want to be filled more than anything else? Peter was over there. Simon, was it Simon the Tanner's house? He was asleep on top of the roof, and he seen a vision. A sheet come down from heaven with four corners. And on that sheet there was all manner of unclean beast. The Lord said, get up and eat, Peter. He said, no, not so. I never have eaten anything that's unclean. God said, what I've cleaned, don't you call unclean. And while he was showing him that vision, there was some men that had come from Cornelius' house. And they knocked on the door and they said, is Peter here? Is the apostle Peter here? Yes, he is. The Holy Ghost, while they were knocking on the door, told Simon Peter, said, I want you to go with those men. They go down there, and it's found in Acts chapter 10. They go down to Cornelius' house. And these are Gentiles. And Simon Peter had a problem with mingling with Gentiles. But the Holy Ghost told him to go, and he went. And now notice what he said in Acts chapter 10. It said that he, when he went there, he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God showed him there was a man, a Gentile man. His prayers had come before God as a memorial. And he said, I perceive that with God he is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. And the Bible said, I'm skipping down, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. You know what I was praying, Brother Tim? Let the Holy Ghost fall on everybody in this service that hears what this preacher's trying to preach. Have I got out of the Bible, church? Have I got out of the Word of God? I hope I had. And if I have, if you'll come to me after church, I'll get it fixed and I'll get it straight. And I'll apologize and I'll do my best not to do it again. But I really don't feel like I have. The Bible said while he spake, they were all, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I tell you, church, that's who the Holy Ghost is for. He's for every one of us. And I believe today that it is God's perfect will for every one of us to be filled and to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. Brother Kenny, come get us a song. I hope I didn't preach too long. It is God's will for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Young people, the Holy Ghost is more than an influence that gives you power to speak with other tongues. And I do believe that the Holy Ghost speaks. And I believe the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, according to the book of Acts, is the speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Y'all agree with me? And I believe that's part of what he said when he said, with groanings, which cannot be uttered. That heavenly language. I believe it's more than that. I believe it's more than that, but I believe that's part of it. I really do. But the Holy Ghost is more than just somebody that causes you to speak in tongues when the service gets high.
Yes, sir.
He enables you to be able to pray in the Spirit when all the hosts of hell assail us and the problems of life surround. Oh, I remember as a young man in high school, I wasn't privileged to be in homeschool. I had to go to high school, public school. I remember there was more than one time, Brother Tim, I'd open that door to my closet and I would fall in that floor. My mother had old clothes bagged up, old trash bags bagged up with old clothes, and I'd fall on the trash bags. And I would tell the Lord, I need your help, God. I face some pressure today, and if I face it tomorrow, I don't want to cave in, I want to stand. And you know what the Holy Ghost would do? He would begin to pray through me and with me, and he would help me. And then he would enable me to go to those same people that made fun of me. There was a boy that was my best friend. After I got saved, he dropped me like a bad habit. And I had my Bible sitting at the lunch table, and I was reading my Bible. And he come by me, and he started making comments about being a devil worshiper and all kinds of stuff. And God gave me the ability to be able to tell that boy about Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my friends, the Lord dealt with me. I know you're standing. Will you bear with me a few minutes? If you can't stand, if you need to sit, that's fine. But the Lord dealt with me to give up the football team. He said, you can't do that and be a Christian. There's too many spirits involved in that. So I give it up. And there's a lot of those boys got mad at me. Not that I was good, but it was just the devil trying to use them to discourage me. That's what it was, because I really wasn't no good at all. But one of those boys that was upset because I gave up the football team, I was a traitor to him. About 10 years later, when my mother was living, she told me, she said, hey, James, I seen Jonathan Triplett today. Oh, you did? Yeah, said tell you something. Want me to give you a message. She's telling me this on the phone. She said he wanted me to tell you that he appreciated the way you lived in public school. And he said he wished he'd lived like you did because his life's in a mess. No, that wasn't Jamie Ellington doing that. There was the Holy Ghost power in my life that helped me to live for God in public school. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I'm not in public school. You still need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And you can receive the Holy Ghost if you will obey him, if you will tarry until you be endued. The altars are open this morning. Young folks, I want all of you praying. I want all the young people in these altars. Who's going to be the first to move this morning? Who's going to be first to move? Everybody, let's pray. Come on. Come on, let's pray, church. Young folks, let's pray. Let's seek God. You don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't need to wait till tonight. You don't need to wait to Friday night. You don't need to wait to homecoming revival. But you need the Holy Ghost now. You need the Holy Ghost now. Oh, maybe somebody needs to be refilled. Thank God you can be refilled today. Oh, you can be refilled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God.
My whole heart I will give, and my answer.
Said it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We cannot do what God wants us to do effectively without His Spirit living in us and working through us. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, don't you?
Amen.
It is important. It is necessary. Do you have a testimony? Shared these cards with the church Friday night.
Got some thank you cards here. Says thanks for me. Just a little line or two to bring my warmest thanks to you. This is from Grace.
Thank you so much for all my gifts for my party. Y'all are awesome. Love y'all. I always think of you because I couldn't be more grateful for the thoughtful things you do. Just want to say thank you for everything that you got me, presents for my birthday. Y'all are absolutely awesome. Not just awesome, but absolutely awesome. Lovely. And I like to say thank you for showing our children you love them, appreciate them. Anything else need to be said before we dismiss? Yes. Let's pray for our military.
Yes.
And it looks like, I don't know what's going to happen in Iraq, but it looks like we're headed for another conflict. And it's a never-ending thing. So let's do uphold them in prayer. God would keep them and help them. Pray for their spouses, too, because they are sacrificing just as much as their husbands are, or their wives, whichever one. So let's do pray for our military. Let our visitors know you appreciate them coming to church today. If that's all, we'll stand and be dismissed. Don't forget service tonight. Lord willing, Brother Ben's going to be preaching for us. So let's be praying for him, asking God to have his way in the service. Brother Gerald dismisses tonight.
Holy Father God, we